Hello, and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, Go Away U Fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
Hello.
And Blake, Iowa Gopher.
Number 20, baby.
Yeah, what the hell is that? I mean, I'm happy. I don't think it makes any sense, but I'm happy. I just, what in the ever-loving? I was not expecting that to happen tonight. I didn't, suddenly I'm getting texted and it's like, we're number 20. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
I thought maybe there was a chance they'd get ranked. I'd say I'm not completely surprised they're ranked, but I'm surprised the way in which they're ranked and the teams they're ranked ahead of, if that makes sense.
I mean, if I saw them getting ranked, which I didn't, it would have been at like 24 or 25. It wouldn't be at the 20. Because honestly, I mean, at the end of the day, I know Blake agrees with this. I'm pretty sure Andy does too. It doesn't really matter. Like, if they win out, great. It'll be validated. If they don't win out, they'll fall out, and justifiably so, and it won't matter. But I mean, if they win out, that probably means they move up to, 10-ish.
Well, I mean, Chris, just real quick, humor me. Who was ranked number 20 in the polls week 10, 2 years ago?
Fuck if I know. No one's going to know that.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. Exactly. It's not
probably
me.
Probably was Minnesota.
Honestly, no, that first ranking, remember, I thought they were 17.
I think you're right. Yeah, because they were talking about that earlier. Is what was the highest and undefeated team has ever been ranked, and it was Minnesota at 17, a fate that Wake Forest decided to not take over tonight.
So I mean, yeah, I mean, Week 10 rankings, they're utterly meaningless. I mean, Minnesota, for all we know, could lose the next four games, and I mean, obviously they'd be out of the top 25. So I mean, it's just something to get outraged and worked up about for a week at a time. It's just fodder for Twitter or the pundits on ESPN. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it is, I mean, I let you want to be ranked. I mean, I'm not going to, if they gave me the option, like, do you want Minnesota to be ranked? I would obviously say yes every time. Because one, it's good publicity. And two, I think it's, I mean, good recognition of how hard the team has worked, especially, I mean, for a team that lost to Bowling Green, which I don't know if you've heard, Minnesota lost to Bowling Green. It's been brought up several times tonight on Twitter in response to the rankings. But, I mean, this is a team that easily could have folded after that game. I know a lot of teams probably would have, but they fought back. They've won four straight games, against opponents whose quality is, up for debate. But they've won them all. I mean, I hope they continue winning. But, yeah, it's nice to see them ranked. Where they're ranked, I mean, certainly up for debate. A lot of other people get more outraged about it. But, yeah, I think it – I mean, I'm going to refer to them – as the number 20 ranked Minnesota Gophers for the rest of the week at every opportunity. So yeah, that's really all I'm going to do with it.
I can tell you one team that definitely would have folded. That would be Scott Frost's Nebraska Cornhuskers. They would have folded if they lost to Bowling Green.
Well, sure. What's funny is they interviewed Gary Barta, Iowa's athletic director, and I think he's chairman of the committee this year tonight. And they asked him about Minnesota, and he said, that we did discuss the Bowling Green loss, but they've lost their top two running backs, and they're on a four-game winning streak. They beat Maryland. They won at Purdue. No mention of Nebraska being any sort of win to hang your hat on. So it's just kind of a sad moment for the Husker fans there.
I mean, ultimately, they'll vindicate it or they won't. And the only way it'll end up mattering is in that magic situation where we're dreaming of a Rose Bowl. This starting the first week ranked is the most likely scenario to help them be ranked high enough to possibly get them to the Rose Bowl after losing the conference championship game. That's the only literal only situation I can imagine where it matters. I suppose they could potentially rise high enough to qualify for a New Year's Six. I don't see how that happens without beating Ohio State in the conference championship game. And the best part of everything I just said is that is so many weeks in the future and requires so many other things to happen, including beating Iowa and Wisconsin in the same season, which I don't even know the last time that happened. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, and it'll work itself out. So, you know, worse things out there. Blake, I believe you had a couple thoughts you wanted to drop about Northwestern before we move on to laughter.
I just want to say it was a beautiful day. I was able to be in attendance at the game, reasonably well attended for a Northwestern game. I'll give their fans credit for showing up for a team that's maybe not so great. Much better conditions than when Chris was last there. Chris, I believe that was 2017, was it not?
2017, I might have been 34 degrees at most, freezing hard, big ass chunks of freezing rain the entire time. And of course, they got shut out. That was not the best game I've ever attended in terms of weather or performance. On the other hand, I did get to sit and get selfies with Goldie, which is always a positive.
I mean, that's always a win. And I said the highlight for me from this game was definitely when Derek, the captain, went in. I was sitting on the visitor sideline, and when that possession started, I think they're coming out of a timeout. When he went to the backfield, everyone, no matter what they were doing, came up to the sideline, like, to watch the play. And, like, they're meeting and stuff, and all of a sudden, like, this guy goes in, and they all start, like, watching. They start celebrating as soon as he gets that first carry. But then the pandemonium on that sideline when he scored a touchdown was just awesome. I honestly thought the team was going to rush out to the end zone and celebrate with him. And I wouldn't have faulted them one bit for it. I mean, I would take that penalty any day. But it's super cool to see how like widespread it was across the team, how invested they were in this one guy. I think it speaks to probably the connectivity or the togetherness of the team, but it was just one of those moments you may not see on TV that you get to see in person, and just really cool.
I love it. That's for all the crap that PJ Fleck gets for his style and, you know, quote culture, most of which I believe is extremely not deserved. I love hearing stuff like this because it really brings back to at the core of it, you know, these are still kids to me. Like, I don't think people are really fully ready to be an adult until they're closer to their, you know, 25, when our brains stop developing or whatever. So these are young players who are getting a chance to celebrate together, and that's an awesome thing. Laughter, though. Oh, Iowa. I'm going to assume, Blake, that your laughter for this week is Iowa.
You would think that. I think they've been outscored 40 to 14 our last two games, and this was the team that was ranked number two in the country. You want to talk about rankings? The fact that this Iowa team is ranked number two in the country at any point in the season is just ridiculous. I mean, one dumb preseason prank rankings, wins that or top 25 teams that aren't in the top 25 anymore, and just this instinct or compulsion by voters to say, oh, teams lose and this team won, no matter who they won, they need to keep moving forward. It's like a little assembly line. Just dumb thinking, counterintuitive. That did make me laugh, but I have to say what made me laugh harder was finally seeing Jerry Kill get the interim head coaching position he's been gunning for since he left Minnesota. Cause I know he did time at Kansas State, seeing if maybe he could slip in for Bill Snyder. Didn't work there. He went to Virginia Tech, seeing if, you know, Fuente got the axe, he could serve as interim head coach there. Didn't work out. Fuente's still there. Now he goes to TCU, and Gary Patterson, in probably one of the most unusual situations I've ever seen for a coach of his stature at that program, gets axed midseason, and lo and behold, Jerry Kill is the interim head coach. So, you know, Jerry, he tries and tries and tries, and now he's finally got it. So, you know, good for him.
And he's 100% not getting hired as the full-time head coach is the other detail here, because their offense under Jerry Kill has been not great. And the AD is making pointed comments in press conferences about how they're likely going to look for a good offensive mind to lead the team. So, yeah, I don't think that bodes real great for Jerry Kill to be head coach. Okay, Andy, are you laughing at Iowa?
I am not laughing at Iowa.
Well, I'm going to assume then that means the laughter is directed at Nebraska?
You would be right to think that, but nope. I'm going to completely switch it up a little bit and laugh at a different rival, well, at least a team that thinks they're a rival, and most of our fan base thinks they're a rival.
Okay, go for it.
Saturday night was, I guess it's every other year, North Dakota hosts their gigantic destination game, and so this one I think was supposed to happen last year due to COVID. I can't remember whether it got postponed or not, but in front of 18,000 fans in Nashville, North Dakota brought in Penn State to play them in one game, and it's not a very good Penn State team. In fact, the whole Big Ten, other than Minnesota and Michigan, is down a little bit this year. But, yeah, North Dakota brought in Penn State, and Penn State ended up getting a 6-4 win with two goals scored by a former Gopher recruit who played here for a semester before transferring to Penn State, including the game winner. So, sucks to be you, effing Hawks. 18,000 people in Nashville getting all sad because they lost to Penn State. I laugh.
Well, I laugh at that. I guess I will be the one to laugh at Iowa because, god damn, their offense is terrible and their offensive play calling is terrible. And I really hope upon everything that is precious in this world that Fleck and Rossi finally pay attention to the fact that Brian Ferentz doesn't game plan for any other team but Minnesota and occasionally Ohio State. That's it. Like, he doesn't game plan for anyone else. And they should probably be ready for him to do something unexpected in the first quarter. Separate from that, Nebraska, good God. Like, just fire Scott Frost already and put yourself out of your misery. There's no need to continue this any longer.
His buyout is $20 million now. That's the catch.
And it's not like, I mean, it's better for everybody if he stays because then Nebraska keeps losing. But, oh, God, that's right. I forgot they extended him for no reason whatsoever.
I think the extension came after his second season, maybe. So, like,
I'm pretty sure that's right.
It's just, yeah, not the greatest decision on their part. But, you know, I'm okay with it.
Well, I mean, any direction they go, it's basically guaranteed hilarity. So we've got that going for us. No matter what else happens, Nebraska can make us laugh. I guess before we get to Illinois, I'd kind of like to go to basketball. But I'll be honest, I've paid no attention to the basketball exhibitions because they're exhibitions. And I'm struggling to get super excited for this team because they're probably going to be really bad. And I'm just going to own that I'm not excited. Are either of you plugged in to give me anything regarding basketball that could be worthwhile to our listeners?
I mean, I can pretend.
Go for it.
We'll start with the men. The men got a 80-67 win over Concordia St. Paul in their exhibition game Monday night. If you want to look at the funniest thing, I'm reading off of the box score, and apparently the attendance was 94-70, which must include every single ticket sold, given away. From what we've heard from people in the building, if there were more than 1,500 people there, they counted everybody five times. But the high points for Minnesota, Jameson Battle, the George Washington transfer, he dropped 24 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 3 of 8 from behind the arc. Peyton Willis, 23 points, 4 three-pointers, 9 of 15 on the night. They're going to be the two leaders on this team, I think. It's going to be Battle and Willis. The biggest thing is Willis is going to have to be playing point guard, and, if he gets against anybody other than a Division II point guard, that could get a little ugly. Another thing not so great is the Gophers got out-rebounded by a Division II team, 43-41. That could be a little interesting as we go. But
Andy, I don't know what you're worried about. The Big Ten is not a post-dominated conference where people play strong and fouls aren't called and a whole bunch of stuff. Like, Big Ten is a conference where you can finesse your way to everything. I see no problems here.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I mean, we all know it's probably going to be a long year, and we'll have a better idea as we get a little bit further into the actual non-conference schedule, which kicks off tonight is when we're recording this, Tuesday night, when the Gophers host Kansas City at the Barn to open things up. So that may give us a little bit better idea. I saw Sports Illustrated came out. They ranked all 300-some Division I basketball teams, the Gophers at 141, last in the Big Ten. In fact, they were only ahead of only three other Power Six teams, Boston College, Cal, and Georgia. So, yeah, it's going to be a long season, but at least hopefully we can see some positives here and there, and we'll get a little bit better idea once we actually start playing Division I competition. I do think we got a little bit better look from the women. Granted, they didn't play a strong team each other either as well, but we got a little bit more of a positive look from them earlier in the weekend against Minnesota Crookston. Minnesota Crookston, again, Division II team, not very good. The Gopher women beat up on them 78-33. They did what you're supposed to do, including outscoring them 25-2 in the third quarter, which is got to be a little bit uncomfortable for the Golden Eagles. But Godiva Hubbard 17, Sarah Scalia 13, Kari Sasuku 13, Jasmine Powell 9 points. Those are going to be your four stars in and out the season for the Gopher women. You know, they're four starters. They're expected to be the bulk. The Gophers have a large roster, I think a 16-person roster. That cut down to 15 after the news that one of their players, one of their guards, had to have back surgery, and Katie Borowski will miss the season. But the Gophers still have a really, really deep roster. You'll probably see them go, in reality, 9 deep on average. One player that will be interesting to watch will be freshman Alana Michaud out of the Detroit area. She may have to play a lot of point minutes, and she's young and she's raw, and it'll be interesting to see how she can do once they step up in competition. Just 2 points in her first exhibition action, but Minnesota may need to count on her a bit because they don't really have they're still working and building it up, but they still don't have much depth at the 4 and the 5. Their guards are going to be great. It's going to be in the point where they're going to be have to work and try and steal some games. So, you know, Lindsay Whalen does have her team in a bit better place. Again, we'll see. They open up as well against Jacksonville a week from Tuesday, so a week from tonight as we're recording this. And they get a couple of games before they have to play UConn in the first game of the women's battle for Atlantis, which, well, that won't be pretty. But that will really give us a test is whether Whalen has this team as a potential, you know, back-end top 25, top 6 in the Big Ten contender, or whether they're going to be sitting on the NCAA tournament bubble once again.
I mean, that could be the coolest thing that happens all year if they somehow upset UConn. It's not going to happen, but that would be pretty darn awesome, actually. All right, well, that's, I mean, something to look forward to. The men, they're going to get killed, so I'll just go back to pretending that's not going to happen. But you know who else should get killed, and I certainly hope gets absolutely demolished? It's Illinois, not a good football team. Which speaks very poorly for the state of Nebraska. Blake, can you just kind of walk us through what we need to know in what should be a fairly straightforward win for the Gophers?
Yeah, Illinois is a weird team. I mean, they opened the season beating Nebraska and then immediately lost to UTSA, who was pretty good. I mean, they're undefeated, so I'll give them credit, but then loses in a blowout to Virginia. Offensively, I mean, they run the ball fairly well. I mean, not great. I mean, they want to run the football. It's Brett Bielema. It's a Brett Bielema coach team. So they got a pretty good running back, Chase Brown. He said, to give an example how up and down this Illinois team is, he's had 2 games where he's rushed for more than 200 yards, but in every other game he's rushed for fewer than 100. So it's like, I mean, it's just feast or famine with this team. I mean, it goes on the defensive side of the ball, too. They rank 78th in the country in rushing defense. You know, 1 week, literally, in a 3-week span, they gave up 391 rushing yards to Wisconsin. Then held Penn State to 62. And the following week after that, they give up 230 rushing yards to Rutgers. So, I mean, a large part of that was their linebackers, too. The linebackers, same linebackers who looked terrible against Wisconsin, suddenly looked like real Big Ten linebackers against Penn State. And then apparently midnight struck, and they turned back into Cinderella and got lost to Rutgers. So, but I mean, also adding to the weirdness is this: defensively, they rank in near the bottom of the conference in rushing yards allowed, passing yards allowed. But in Big Ten play, they're only allowing an average of 19.5 points per game, and they've played, you know, I think six Big Ten games so far. So I mean, the little definitions of bend but don't break defense. They are just a weird team, honestly. I mean, but really, like, the recipe to beating them is simple. If you can stop the run, which is all they're going to try to do, especially since their starting quarterback, is it Art? His name is spelled Arthur Sitkowski, but is it supposed to be Arthur? I don't. Arthur just sounds like
I don't. A type I've always just done Art. So I guess I've never realized he had a bigger, fuller name than that.
That's a good compromise. I like this. So Art Sitkowski, he broke his arm in the fourth overtime period of their win against Penn State. So now they've got Brandon Peters back as a starter, who was the starter before, but lost his job to Art. So yeah, with Peters under center, they'll just try a lot of high percentage passes. They don't really have much of a downfield passing game. So really, Minnesota just needs to clean up some areas where they're sloppy against Northwestern, and just be the stout run defense they've been all year long. To get this Illinois offense under control. Then, for the love of God, don't let Brandon Peters beat you, because if Brandon Peters beats you, I mean, you don't deserve to be ranked in the top 25. I'll say that right now. But yeah, this is definitely a strange Illinois team. Not quite sure what exactly to expect from them. But yeah, I don't think they're obviously not a very good team, but they're a team that I think if you play to their level and make a lot of mistakes and keep them in the game, they can make life difficult for you and end up winning in 9 overtimes. So Minnesota just needs to not do that, and I think this should be okay.
It feels like you're saying that they are pretty much unquestionably better than Northwestern.
Yeah, I kind of think so. Yeah, I think they're better than Northwestern. Just looking at them, that is a tough call. I go back and forth on that.
I know it's hard to say that, because Northwestern has been better than Illinois for so long now that it feels weird to say that, but. When you describe them to me, I have to go, I feel like they're better than Northwestern. It's a low bar, to be sure, but...
I mean, they have a win over Penn State that Northwestern doesn't have, so, I mean, they both have... I mean, I guess Northwestern has beaten Rutgers, and I lost Rutgers. This is really a tough debate. I honestly don't know which side I come down on.
Everybody's crap. That's what I'm... We'll go with that.
That's a fair assessment.
The Sky U podcast is proud to be sponsored by Homefield Apparel, the good brand. You've heard us talk before about how excited we were to get them as a sponsor, and we continue to be excited because as fall approaches, they have restocked their crew neck and hoodie sweatshirts. There's a Sweet Script Minnesota sweatshirt out there right now waiting for you to pick one up. If you have not already shopped for the first time at Homefield Apparel, make sure to go to homefieldapparel.com and use code DAILYGOPHER at checkout for 15% off your order. It's not just Minnesota gear. There are sweet stickers from all sorts of historic logos across NCAA. I have a Tulane Green Wave sticker that I've had my eye on that I got to go pick up. Whatever it is, make sure to get over to homefieldapparel.com, find it for yourself, feel good in it, look good in it, and enjoy every moment with your new gear. That's homefieldapparel.com, code DAILYGOPHER. Hockey. The women swept. That was expected. The men swept, which I don't think wouldn't qualify as a surprise, Andy, but certainly I think was an outcome that, you know, is a positive one, given that things have been kind of ho hum up and down recently. What are you taking away from a double sweep weekend?
Yeah, you know, on the men's side, the biggest takeaway was the return of 2020 Jack LaFontaine. LaFontaine had struggled much of the season so far. He did not look like the Jack LaFontaine that won the Mike Richter Award as the best goalie in college hockey last season. Until this weekend, he finally, all of a sudden, definitely seemed to get things figured out. In doing so, he earned the Big Ten second star of the week. You know, Gophers won 4-1 on Friday, and then battled back you know, in a close back and forth game, got a 3-2 win on Saturday with a late third period goal. So, yeah, it was nice. The Gophers, you know, from 1 week, are all alone atop the Big Ten after Michigan-Wisconsin split their pair of games last weekend. So, yes, it's nice to get a big home sweep. It's nice to get that mojo back. It's nice to get Jack LaFontaine playing like Jack LaFontaine, but it gets no easier. The Gophers head to Madison this weekend for a huge series against the Badgers. This is one of those series that, you know, another sweep would be massive for Minnesota. Just both to jump out in the Big Ten standings and both to take down a rival. But they're going to have to do it fighting through some injuries. The Gophers are going to be down, what sounds like, three key players going in the weekend in Madison. Mike Koster, defenseman, is still out with an upper body injury, at least for one more weekend. Freshman Chaz Lucius missed last weekend's games against Notre Dame as well. It sounds like he's out. And possibly the biggest one, Colorado College transfer Grant Cruikshank, who's a Wisconsin native, and you know he was really looking forward to being able to play in Madison. He originally, I think, was committed to the Badgers before decommitting and things like that. He suffered an injury Friday night against Notre Dame, and he will be out for another week or two, according to Bob Motzko. So the Gophers will be missing two forwards and a defenseman in Madison, but hopefully our depth is strong enough that we can make up for that, and they can go get the job done. And hopefully they can, you know, get a couple of wins in Madison and keep things moving on here as we move along.
Well, I don't know that probably we need to talk too much about the women whooping up on Bemidji State, but you know, what's coming next for the women?
Yeah, they did get a sweep, 5-2 on Friday, 3-2 on Saturday. Saturday's win, the 700th win all time in program history for the Gopher women. They've got
that's cool.
Yeah, they actually have a bye this week, so they get the week off. But we do get some other awards. Peyton Hemp, Gopher freshman, was named the WCHA Freshman of the Month for the month of October on Tuesday. She's got 3 goals already on the season, is sort of leading the way. Gophers are back in action at home at Ritter on the 12th and 13th against RIT, who I think RIT got swept by St. Thomas. So that should be a really easy sweep for Minnesota at home. Realistically, they probably won't be playing anybody here till Thanksgiving weekend. That should give them any trouble. They get St. Cloud State for a home and home after that, and the Huskies should be no problem at all. But we did see one interesting recruiting battle come down for the women, and it was Joy Dunn, who you may have heard of her sister, Jincy, who played for the U.S. Olympic team, was a star at Ohio State. And she has another older sister in Josie Dunn, who's a current Minnesota sophomore. Joy, arguably, is potentially the best one yet. She, unfortunately, announced today that she will be committing to Ohio State and following in Jincy's footsteps. Decent-sized recruiting loss for Brad Frost. So Frost's former assistant and former Gopher Nadine Muzzerall, now the head coach of Ohio State, ends up taking another one away for the Buckeyes. So Minnesota has been kind of owned by Ohio State in the women's hockey game in the last 18 months, and it shows no short-term times of turning around. So hopefully Frost can pick up on a couple other recruits who end up being quality players, but this one stings a little bit.
Well, in a kind of a better note and tying back to Player of the Week honors, Stephanie Samaday got named National Player of the Week, if I'm not mistaken, thanks to a strong performance in the Gophers' win over Nebraska. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Stephanie Samedy named both the Big Ten Player of the Week and the National Player of the Week earlier. She had a huge match. The Gophers knocking off number 6 Nebraska Saturday night 3-2 at the Pav. Stafford ended up finishing with 20 kills, 26 digs. I think they said that was her all career high in digs in 26. Huge double-double. Jenna Wenis, the sophomore from Texas, really took over, 22 kills, leading the way for the Gophers in that game. But, yeah, no, it's nice to see Minnesota battle back. You know, they won the first set, and then they choked away a 24-20 lead in the second set for Nebraska to come back and win 30-28. And that's sort of been the death knell for the Gophers. You know, they haven't really had the mental stability to fight back, but they did figure it out this time. Won set 3 and then dropped the 4th and then got a 15-9 win, finishing on a 5-0 run in set number 5. So a big, big win for the Gophers. They stayed at number 11 in the national polls this week, but getting that win over Nebraska should help RPI-wise. You know, we've got 8 matches left, I believe, in the regular season. Gophers trying to be in the top 16 in the RPI so they can be one of 16 first and second round hosts at the PAV for the NCAA tournament. You know, they've got a tough schedule ahead of them. They still, I think, in their 8 games left, they've got 4 or 5 ranked opponents. That kicks off Thursday night. They head to Columbus to face number 7 Ohio State. The Gophers beat them 3-1 last weekend at the PAV, but that's a big match there. And then Saturday night, they get arguably one of the hottest teams in the country in Illinois, who's ranked 25th in the nation on Saturday. Illinois has won a couple of big matches in a row, including taking out Penn State and Purdue recently. So it will be a tough weekend, another double-ranked weekend for the volleyball team, both on the road. I think if you're Minnesota, you've got to try and earn at least a split, but a sweep arguably would put them in the top of the battle for the Big Ten. After beating Nebraska and some Wisconsin-related funny business losing a match to Purdue, the Gophers sit in third place right now in the Big Ten standings at 9-3, a game behind both Wisconsin and Nebraska, who are 10-2, and then a game ahead of a huge cluster of teams, Ohio State, Purdue, Illinois, Penn State, all who are 8-4. So I think Minnesota, if they want to keep pace and especially try and lock down that first and second round home field or home court advantage for the NCAA tournaments, I think they'd really need a bare minimum split. But if you can get a sweep, you're in pretty good shape as you go down the final stretch here of the Big Ten season.
Well, last but not least, women's cross country coming up big with the hardware.
Yeah, the Gopher women's cross country team won the Big Ten meet last Friday, held at Penn State. They snuck it out over Wisconsin, and for the second year in a row, it was a Haas sister winning it. Bethany Haas won last spring the delayed 2020 into the fall or the spring of 2021 meet. Her twin sister Megan won this fall, winning the Big Ten women's cross country title. So it's been a good year for the Haas twins. The Gophers nationally now ranked up to number 5 in the country, and they'll host one more sort of non-conference fun meet at home this weekend before getting ready for the NCAA regionals here in a week. The men finished 3rd in the Big Ten. They've now moved up. I believe they're ranked 23rd nationally, which is the highest they've been ranked in some time. So it was a pretty good running weekend for the Gophers. In fact, it's been a great weekend all around for Minnesota, starting with the women as they ran after the men. Starting with the women last Friday at the Big Ten Championships, the Gophers as a whole are on a 12-match game meet winning streak. Between cross country, a sweep by women's hockey, sweep by men's hockey, swimming and diving beat both Nebraska and St. Thomas last weekend. You had football over Northwestern, volleyball, and then our 2 exhibition basketball wins. The Gophers are 12-0 in their last 12 contests, and that record will be tested. The first match after that will be Thursday night when the volleyball team heads to Columbus to play Ohio State. So hopefully we can keep it rolling into one more weekend here.
Blake, you might have thought Chris forgot about Ask Blake a Hockey Question.
I did.
Well, you'd be correct. I did forget. But most importantly, I remembered before we got out of the podcast. So it's Ask Blake a Hockey Question time. Blake, can you define icing for me?
Icing. Isn't that when you send the puck down to the opposite end of the rink?
That's pretty close, but not every puck that goes to the opposite end of the rink is automatically icing. Can you define what happens to that, that the key differentiator?
If no one's down there, I don't know. You lost me. I got halfway there. I don't know the rest of it.
I'd point out that there's generally a goalie in the vicinity when that happens. Andy, you want to help him out?
Icing, the technical definition of icing is when somebody shoots it from the opposite side of the center line down past the goaltender, the offensive team can't beat the defensive team to the puck. That is technically icing. Now, there are times where it can be tipped, or there are times where referees or linesmen can decide that the defensive team is sort of lollygagging and they can wave icing off. But the general rule is if you shoot the puck from your opposite side of the red center line and it goes past the goal line without being touched first by an offensive team, that is icing.
Close, Blake.
Close.
You were very, you legitimately were close. You were certainly on the right end of the ice with your explanation.
Thank you. Well played.
All right, predictions. I'll go first. I still see this in kind of the same vein as a Maryland or a Northwestern, with a team that, you know, Minnesota could certainly lose to, but shouldn't. And a game where I kind of am expecting, or at least thinking, will, you know, see the ground game get its yards and kind of open it up bigger at the end as the time of possession gap really starts to wear on the defense. I don't think it's automatically going to go quite as well. I would say Illinois strikes me as capable of being a little better than either Maryland or Northwestern against the run. So I'm going to say 27-10 as my prediction. How about you, Andy?
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to stick with what I've been working with the whole the last few weeks, and it's been pretty accurate. You know, our garbage touchdowns by Mr. LeCaptain threw my numbers a little bit out of whack last weekend, but I won't hold it against him. You know, I see this one playing out about the same way, where Minnesota pretty much takes control midway through the game, grounds and pounds and slows everything down. Illinois might get a late garbage touchdown to try and make it a little bit tighter than it is, but it's still a fairly comfortable Minnesota victory. So I think 31-17, the Gophers knock off the Illini.
Blake, what are you thinking?
There's just some Jekyll and Hyde aspects to this Illinois team that make me a little bit nervous. I mean, like you said, the Bowling Green game is evidence that this team can lose to any team. But I mean, the way they've played the last 4 weeks, they can also beat any team left on their schedule too. So I still think Minnesota wins this game. I'm intrigued by Illinois' scoring defense, because I know Minnesota's been getting better every week and scoring more touchdowns, but I think they may not find the end zone as often this week, just as Illinois has shown a little bit of a backbone when they're up against a wall. So I would say I'm going with Minnesota 28, Illinois 14. I think it won't be the blowout that we all want to see, but I mean, I think they'll win with some amount of comfort.
I think at this point, I've given up on wanting a blowout, and I'll settle for victories. Bowling Green will do that to you. But I think that feels about right, what you're saying. So, well, you know, we'll have to find out how right or wrong we all are this weekend. In the meantime, of course, Blake's predictions will also be a part of his preview post later this week. And, of course, look out for another edition of the SkyU podcast next week. In the meantime, go Gophers. SkyU Ma. Row the boat.